Well, Father, thank you for bringing us all together again, Lord. And I just love you, Lord, and I ask that you come in and help us out here and anoint all of us to share the good news that you have given each one of us, Lord, and share the praise reports and just share about you, Lord. Most of all, just share about you. Father, there's a lot of great things out there that are written about you. But Lord, we want to know straight from the source. And we ask, Father, that you do that for us, that you lead and guide us and talk to us and show us those things that we need to know, Lord. And about these days ahead, Father, we ask for more dreams and visions and prophecies and words of knowledge, Lord, about what you want us to do. And we thank you for it, Lord. We ask for your anointing upon us tonight, on each one of us, Lord. Prod us into getting more out of you, Lord. Praying more and seeking you more, Lord, and drawing closer to you, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, okay. Anybody got a prayer request? Anybody got a prayer request or praise report or testimony?
Yeah, Michael, I got a prayer. I'd like to pray for the, you know, the other day we talked about last weekend we went to my wife's family reunion and we all went to church that Sunday morning. I guess we just mostly went to be week to the week, but that was the worst church service I think I've ever been to. I mean, that pastor is so deceived. I mean, his whole thing was that baptism was once you're baptized, you're good to go, and he said he made it very clear that you don't need any other baptism, just that baptism that you get with water. So I just like to pray for those people. It's a really small church. My wife used to go there when she was, you know, when she was a girl. And Father, we just put our faith together and lift up those people that were in that church Sunday, and we ask that you touch their heart, Lord, and change their heart. Give them the grace to receive truth. Just send someone that would share truth with them, or take the ones out of there that are yours and take them to a place where they get truth. Help them to know, Lord, that there's more to salvation than just getting your head wet when you're a baby. And we just thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in each one of those people that were there that day. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just ask that you put the fear of God in that preacher, that he start preaching the truth and quit taking away from the Word of God, Father. We ask that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. Let him respect what the Word of God says, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yep, there's a bunch of them out there like that. All right, anybody else? Well, I want to pray for Blake, so if y'all would believe with me. Well, Lord, you know where Blake is. He's doing a lot better. But Lord, I ask and I pray, Father, that you draw his heart towards you, Lord. Lord, he's a good boy. But he's been so hurt in his life back in his, you know, when he was home. And Lord, I just ask that you show grace and lots of mercy to him. But shake him up, Lord, where he'll run to you. Shake him up in a mighty way, Lord, that he would run head first into you, Lord. We know he was baptized, and he's been doing good here lately. And, Lord, we thank you for the work you've already done in him. But, Lord, we just ask that you know, time is short, Lord, and you said you were going to grow people up quickly. And I ask that you'd start working on Blake in a mighty way in Jesus' name so that he could be a light for the rest of the family back there in Arkansas, Lord. He could bring his mama to Christ and his dad, stepdad, and his dad too. Lord, he'd be such an awesome evangelist, Lord. But you know as well as I do, you know more than I do, Lord, where you need him to work for you. And I ask, Lord, for this in Jesus' name, that you just draw him nigh unto you, Lord. Give him supernatural visions, Lord, of the things that of you, Lord, and whatever it takes, Father, I ask that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, and I praise you for the work you're doing in Blake. Amen. Okay, anybody else? Well, you know, here locally, we've been praying that God would expose the evil and corrupt ways of the politicians in Washington, D.C., and you know he's doing it. My goodness, I see something just about every day about something else that Hillary's done or the things that Obama's done, and looks like God's closing ranks and opening closets, so to speak. And looks like this thing is going to heat up here pretty quick. So, you know, just kind of, you know, if you haven't listened to the broadcast that David's put on the last few times, I would encourage you to do that, because he's got some, he's given out some mighty words that the God has given us about what's fixing to happen. And it looks like it's fixing to happen that way, because of the pressure that's being put on the people at the top. I'm just saying, it looks like we're going to have a little martial law here before too long. I don't, you know, that there's not any sign of it as far as preparation other than what you've read on the internet. But it just kind of looks that way. So just be in prayer about that. Be in prayer about where God wants you. Be in prayer about drawing nigh to God. That's the main thing, is just getting close to God and being able to hear his voice. Because when he talks, you want to be able to know that he's talking to you. If he wants you out of that area, or if you're in a big city, and if they have martial law, do you still want to be there? You know, is that where God wants you? So, you know, that's just something to be praying about and listening to God for the answers. Okay. Anybody got any testimonies, praise reports, or just something they'd like to talk about?
Hey, Michael.
Hey, go ahead, Hannah.
I have a praise report. On Monday, I had an appointment for my computer, and to have them look at it and fix it, because I got it last year. My mom surprised me with it, and she has the exact same one, Apple computer, because we both had these old ThinkPads, and both the hard drives went out. So they were ancient. So we got new computers, and she got one, and she surprised me with one. And so I only had like a couple weeks left on the warranty, so I made an appointment, because there were three things that weren't working. The USB ports would work, but I'd plug in my MP3 player. I had two different ones, because mine and Matthew's both broke after I first tried to do it on the Apple. And so that didn't work, because it broke them, or I don't know if they just broke themselves. But so I got these two different ones, and I plugged it, but it wouldn't pop up on the screen. I couldn't click on it and open it and put the Bible studies in, because it wouldn't even show up on the screen. But anything else would work. And then also a foot pedal, because I wanted to try transcribing some of the Bible studies. And I'm no typist, but I figure I can learn. But even the foot pedal wouldn't show up, but anything else would. And so I prayed about it, and I'd keep trying it, and I was trying for months. And finally, I was like, well, my warranty's almost up. I'll make an appointment. And so Matthew said, well, don't you believe, you know, God can heal it? And I was like, well, yeah. And he said, okay, you know, I could take the appointment if I wanted. So the morning of the appointment, which was Monday, I got out of the computer. I was like, I'm going to try it one more time. And I plugged in the first MP3 player, and it popped up on the screen. I was like, oh, this hasn't happened. So I click on it, and it opened up, and I was able to put Bible studies in it. And I know this wasn't a computer or problem with it being Apple, because, like I said, Mom has the exact same computer, and all my stuff worked on her computer, and she had to keep uploading it for me. And so I got out the other MP3 player, and it worked. And then I did the foot pedal, and it worked. And so I was like, oh, no, this is so awesome. And I was like, you know, I have to tell the people at Best Buy, you know, with the appointment that God did this, you know, why I'm canceling. But my flesh is kind of dying. I didn't want to have to say, you know, oh, God did this and have them hang up on me or whatever. So I called the lady at Best Buy, and I told her I want to cancel my appointment. And she's like, okay, what's up? And I said, well, my husband told me to pray for it, and all three problems are fixed. And I was expecting her to say, well, if you're sure you don't want to bring it in or just hang up on me or something. But she's like, whoa, that works. That's so awesome. And just, I was just like, whoa. It was really awesome.
All right.
And then she too.
What'd she say?
She was just like, oh, that's so awesome. You know, that works. You know, that's better than bringing it in or...
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Awesome. That's a good one. Thank you, Lord, for fixing her computer. And, Lord, just place it in the heart to keep doing that. If something happens at the test, we know it is, because you're going to bring it around again and see if what she's going to do. And, Lord, we thank you for that. Amen. Might be something else, though. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else?
Hey, Michael, can I share a little nugget I got this morning?
Oh, absolutely. Go ahead, Chris.
I was taking my time. I was working through the second chapter of John, and the verses that I got my nugget from was chapter 2, verses 5 through 10. And that's the where Jesus is at the marriage in Cana of Galilee. And Brother David has taught many times about what the water pot mean and the wine into water and stuff like that. And I was just really enjoying that and grateful for the teaching that David had given us. And then I realized that God dropped something into my brain, is that in those verses there, Jesus and the disciples were with the servants. So I got to thinking about that, and I was like, you know what? That's awesome, because the servants, he was with the people. He was, you know, with the not the rich and the worldly and the worldly-minded people, but he was with the servants. And the servants got to see the miracle first, and they knew the miracle. They believed the miracle instantly when the water was turned into wine. And they were, the servants were present when the ruler of the feast found, you know, witnessed the miracle of water turning into the wine. The servants knew it first. And that kind of prompted me to pray for all of the God's people, that they stay humble servants. And I just thought that was just a wonderful little nugget that the Lord shared with me.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That's awesome. Well, all right. Anybody else got a praise report, testimony, or would like to pray? Or has a word?
Hey, Michael.
Go ahead, Kurt.
I'm sort of ready to stretch myself out in faith because of Anna's testimony. I've got a laptop, and when I get David's teachings on Wednesdays and Sundays, it just started this maybe a month or so back, but it'll go for about maybe the first 10 minutes or 15, then it'll go all the way back to the beginning. And, you know, and then later on, and it'll do the same thing. And then at the time that you're going to come in, you know, when you do come in, you just come in the middle of whatever's going on in David's talking and take over, and it's, I don't know what I'm missing, how much I'm missing or whatever, but I talked to the guy that works on the computers, and he says he's never heard of that before. So it's a trick of the devil, I know, to rob me of the complete teaching, or it's a place that God's put me in for to stretch my faith. Y'all's is too. So maybe y'all can just agree with me that God will fix this computer so I can listen to the teaching from beginning to end with no interruptions.
All right, bud. Go ahead and pray, and we'll believe with you. We know that's going to happen.
Well, Lord, we're so quick to run to man and to the strength of the arm of the flesh because that's the way we've grown up from childhood. And you're just now putting us in positions in the teachings and things that are going on in the world and everything right now and even on this conference call and so many different aspects, Lord. So I want to be in that crowd that believes you to, I mean, what is it that you can't do, you know, except fail? And so, Lord, I reach out to you in faith to believe that you're going to heal this or fix this computer so that I can listen to the conference, teaching from beginning to end with no interruptions. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for fixing that computer. Lord, you're a whole lot better computer fixer than these guys out here. And it don't cost nothing when you do it. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, anyone else?
Hello, Michael.
This yeah, Gano.
I was just wanting to share the prayer that you opened with. The words that I heard this morning were so close to what you prayed that, you know, he truly wants us, like the first line was, the most important thing is to come to me. And, you know, that is what we know, that is the most important thing, is to come to him and to be in his word. And anyway, it was just confirmation that what I heard was truly from him, because you prayed many of the things that I had already written down. I thought that was pretty cool, you know, that, you know, he knows everything, and there's so much going on that could just really get our spirit, you know, disturbed, but he just, you know, he doesn't want us to be shaken by that. He doesn't want our faith to be shaken, because he's sovereign, and he knows exactly what's going on, and nothing comes that's a surprise to him. And, you know, he's our all in all, no matter what. He is our all in all. And I just thank him and praise him for that. And I just, like the prayer you prayed was just confirmation that what I heard was truly from him. You know, it wasn't a figment of my imagination. So I just thank you.
Amen. God is so awesome. He is so awesome.
Yeah, he is. He is.
Thank you, Lord.
I could share the verse I got, unless
you
want to save that for later. I mean, I will have to admit that as I looked at it, it was like, I will have to say I wasn't understanding it completely. I got Amos 1, verse 5, and I really didn't know a whole lot about Amos, so I kind of... I looked in another book that I have that kind of would give me a clue as to a little bit about Amos, and he was a person who really was pressing for his people to be righteous, and he was coming against those people who were wanting to give, like, fancy gifts, fancy sacrifices and stuff, and he really came against them, you know, for idolatry and for letting the people in that, you know, the Lord had told them to stay away from. And anyway, it was kind of interesting, but I wasn't understanding it. But I will read just the first five verses from Amos 1. And the heading above mine says, God's judgments on neighboring nations, on Judah and Israel. The words of Amos, who was among the herdsmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the pastures of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus, yea, for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have threshed Gilead with threshing instruments of iron. But I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, and it shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad, and I will break the bar of Damascus. Now this is the verse that my finger was on. And I will break the bar of Damascus, and cut off the inhabitant from the valley of Avon, and him that holdeth the scepter from the house of Eden, and the people of Syria shall go into captivity unto Kir, saith the Lord. But when I was first reading that first part, I wasn't understanding it, but then, you know, reading more of the chapter, and then when I looked to find out more about Amos, he was really all about righteousness, and that's why they said he was not real popular with the people. But it was because he was wanting them to live in a righteous way, and, you know, and not follow the ways of the world that they were doing at that time. So anyway, that's the word I got this morning. And so I don't know, maybe you have more insight to that than what I got out of this.
Well, that word, yeah, that's good. That word Avon in verse 5 means veil of vanity.
Oh.
If we look at this spiritually speaking, it might be short of something. You know, he cut off the inhabitants from the veil of vanity, and him that holdeth the scepter from the house of Eden, and the people of Syria shall go into captivity. You know, we've got people that all around us that call themselves Christians, and yet they're still tied to the world in a mighty way. They're not pursuing Christ like they should. And God's going to shake them up. He's going to shake them up in a way that will turn a lot of their thinking back to Jesus. And we've got, you know, people that have come here and have left, that God's going to do that with them as well. He's going to shake them up to the point that, hey, look, something's wrong. I've got to get back to Jesus. And they're going to go back. They're going to come back. And I believe that God's going to shake them up, just like he's talking about here, and bring some of them back. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to read this one sentence, and this is from a little Bible dictionary that I have, and this was just a comment that kind of told me, you know, where he was. It says, Amos protested vigorously against the luxurious and careless lifestyle characteristics of Samaria, castigated the elaborate offerings made at the shrines of Beersheba and Gilgal, and stated flatly that ritual could never form an acceptable substitute for righteousness. He asserted the moral jurisdiction of God over all nations. Anyway, I thought that gave me some insight as to what he was all about, you know, because first I had read, you know, he really was not he wasn't popular with the people, but that would be why, because he was wanting them to die to self and not follow the ways of the world. So,
amen.
Anyway, that was the verse that I got this morning.
Okay, praise God. Yeah, most of the prophets weren't very popular because they kept giving them words of warning, you know. They wouldn't heed
it.
Okay. That was good. Anybody else?
Hello?
Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I was reading on the 27th, Proverbs 27, and I think this has something to do with just what's said, and it's the 11th verse there, and it says, my son, be wise and make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproacheth me. And, you know, I immediately thought of the book of Acts, where chapter 9, where Saul is on his road to Damascus in 9, 3, and 6. And there it says, and as he journeyed, it came to pass that he drew nigh to Damascus, and suddenly a light out of heaven shone about him, and he fell upon the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And as we know, Saul really never did meet Jesus, except here. you know. So how was Saul persecuting him other than what he was threatening against the slaughter and to slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, as it says in the first verse here. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and enter into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." So I just found that how he's going to answer in 27:11. He's going to answer him that reproacheth me. And you know, sometimes people get some ideas there, and they start preaching some stuff that's really not the true light of God, and it's being presented as the light of God, but it's darkness, and that's reproaching the life of Christ and people, and it's making them believe things that aren't really true. And I just think that this is something that's going to come to pass now, because it sort of fits into why a person would speak against this lifeblood of Jesus Christ, and especially like all the new people coming to Christ, and they're excited, and they might receive some teaching there that's not really God breathed, and it kind of gets you a little bit worried about some of the people you see coming to the Lord, especially like I've been going on the internet and watching how some of these people do some healings out on the street there, and it always seems to be like they go to the young people, like the teenagers or in their early 20s, and they get really excited for receiving a healing from the Lord, and it makes you kind of wonder, what about the teaching, you know, what about what people are being taught, you know, that may be wrong, and that's something now that the Lord has to do to correct these people. And to reproach me, you know, is to reproach his name. And we should not do that. His name has to be hallowed in our hearts, as even it says in the Lord's Prayer. That name you were baptized into, that name that is the Word of God, that is Emmanuel, that name that you were called to in chapter 1 of John, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." That's the word of God, too, in 19:13 of Revelation. "Hallowed be thy name." Amen. This reproach is going to be fixed. He's going to answer them, like it says here in 11. And he answered Paul, Saul here, when he was Saul still. And this is going to have to change some people. And they're going to be answered by the Lord. We receive teaching from the Lord. One gave testimony as he had a little nugget there. And it's nice to know that the Lord is still teaching us, you know, just as it says there in chapter 6. He talks with you. Everyone wants to hear from the Lord, and you get that hearing from him. You get that, I want to see what the Lord will do and answer my prayer or my computer. And he teaches you. And it's just neat when I hear these things happening. Praise God.
Amen. Yeah, you know, that's... He said, the Word says not... many of you need to be teachers because they're held to a different standard. And why somebody would purposely get up in a pulpit and teach just like Marlon was talking about, and teach something that's not in the Word or is adding to the Word. Either one is bringing a curse upon you and or taking your name out of the Book of Life. And that should be a scary proposition to anybody that steps up in a teaching position to do. I remember the story of Howard Pittman. Most of you know who I'm talking about. He was a Baptist preacher that died, and he went up to the gates, and the Lord told him. He said, he said, your lot is to go to hell. But Lord, he said, I've built buildings. I've done this. I've built that church up. And the Lord said, that's the problem. You didn't allow me to do any of it. It was all about you. And so he took him in and explained to him what it was. And then, of course, took him down to hell and showed him that. Sent him back to give the word out. And, of course, he got filled with the Holy Spirit and went around telling people about hell and how that the Lord wants you to bear fruit, and that fruit is Jesus Christ in you, and to be filled with the Holy Spirit, all of that stuff. And that ought to be, I don't guess I get it, other than the fact they just listen to men teach rather than going to the Word themselves and finding out what the Word says, rather than having these seminaries teach them the apostate way, you know. I don't know. I just, I grieve for the people, all of you, just like Marlon Nagano was talking about, you know, all of us got friends and relatives and people that go to church, and they don't want to hear the truth, actually. And that's why God's going to bring this tribulation on. It's once the tribulation starts, it's going to be non-stop. Once the shaking starts, it's going to be shaking from now on. It ain't going to just shake for a while and then stop. It's going to go from now on. It's going to put the fear of God in all of God's chosen. And it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a great revival because of it. And even some of these preachers, you know, that have been taught to preach an apostate teaching, I believe some of them are going to come to Christ, you know. And His grace is much bigger than we are. So we just pray that God would change that and get them out of those stupid, godless churches. Amen. All right. Anybody else? I get down off my soapbox. Anyone else got something they'd like to share?
I can share my verses I got today. I'll have to expand on them a little bit. But there are four verses, because I got two in the morning, two this afternoon. And the first one I got was Isaiah 53:7. But I will back up to, I'll just go back to Isaiah 53:1. It says, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one for whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has bore our griefs, and he carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. We are healed. All we are like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of all of us. He was oppressed, yet when he was afflicted, he opened not his mouth. As a lamb that was led to slaughter, and as a sheep that was before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and for his generation, who among them considered that he was cut off from the land of living for the transgression of my people to whom the stroke was due. And they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper his hand. He shall seal the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by knowledge of himself, shall by my righteous servant justify many, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Then I got Genesis 48:19. Again, I'm going to back up to 48:12 first. And Joseph brought them out between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand towards Israel's right hand, and brought them near to him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger. And he left his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long unto this day, and the angel who has redeemed me from all Israel, bless the lads, and let my name be upon them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them go into the multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held his father's right hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh. And Joseph said, Father, not so, my father, for this is my firstborn. Put thy right hand on his head. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He also will become a people, and will also be great. However, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become the multitude of nations. Then the verse I got next was Zechariah 2:5. I'll start at 2:4. And said unto him, Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as villages without walls by reason of the multitude of the men and the cattle therein. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall round about, and I will be the glory in the midst of her. Ho, ho, flee from the land of the north, says the Lord. I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heavens, saith the Lord. Ho, Zion, escape, thou that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. For thus says the Lord of hosts, and the glory has he sent unto the nations which plunder you. For he that touches you touches the apple of my eye. For behold, I will shake my hand over them, and they shall be spoil to those that serve them. And you shall know that I am the Lord of hosts that sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter Zion, for lo, I come, and I dwell in the midst of thee, says the Lord. And many nations shall join themselves to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord of hosts, has sent me unto thee. And the Lord shall inherit Judah as his portion in the Holy Land, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is wakened up out of his holy habitation. And finally, I got Joshua 3:28. Deuteronomy 3:28. But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before his people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. Those are the verses I got today.
All right. What was that Genesis verses again? What was that Genesis reference again? Hey, David, can you hear me?
Oh, I'm sorry. I muted myself. It did to you. I was talking.
Okay.
Here we go. All right. I got Genesis 48:19. But
okay,
just so that I could follow, people could follow more with the story, I backed it up to 48:12 and read the 19. And it was about Joseph blessing Manasseh and Ephraim, and called Ephraim the multitude of the nations. Then I got Zechariah 24, Zechariah 2:5, but I backed it up to 2:4 and read the 2:13. And lastly, I got Deuteronomy 3:28, which is talking about the man-child. It's
Amen.
Referencing Joseph. So the Lord woke up from the holy habitation. I see it. You know, Jesus is reminding us, you know, he took all our sin. He's our Savior. And Isaiah 53, you know, it's all done, which is wonderful. Started out the day with Isaiah 53. And then that was really good. So, you know, followed a really good pattern the Lord gave us there.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, what'd you see in all that?
Okay. He's definitely talking about now. He's talking about reminding us that, you know, what we've got in Jesus. You know, it's been paid, but he's letting us also stay humble and know what he did. So he's always reminding us what Jesus accomplished at the cross, what he went through. And it's a wonderful thing to review all the time. And just keeps us mindful of how great and how much Jesus loves us and what he did to make us part of his family. And then we see in Zechariah, here we got the Lord. He's jealous for Zion. He's jealous for us. And before that, he talks about us being the multitude of nations. We're Israel and we're chosen. And then he goes to Zechariah and saying, the Lord has got his eye on us. We're the apple of his eye and is also awoken from his sleep. So, you know, the Lord's getting ready to come on the scene. And then he's telling us, lastly, because he said, but charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over for his people and shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. Our Joshua's coming. He's coming. We're supposed to encourage him when he gets here. We're supposed to be continuing our prayer and pray for this to come, because it's going to be coming shortly, and we want to this to manifest. So we're just continuing to encourage what the Lord wants us to keep on the same theme that we've been hearing. He's coming. He's coming. Pray for the man child. You know, the courage when we see him, you know, because we're going to be the ones that are going to be there to recognize him. And when we recognize him, we're going to be there to say, yes, this is the one, and encourage him and others around that, yeah, listen to this guy or whoever. It's going to be many. But it's our job to keep an eye out for the man child. And when he comes, we recognize that and stand by his side when it's there. And because that's going to usher in the kingdom of God. That's going to help get the church ready. So the Lord's ready. He's opened up his holy habitation. He's awoke. He's got his eye on us. He's very zealous for Israel. The Lord Jesus is reminding us all the things he did up to this, to get this done to this point when he went back to Isaiah 53. And in Genesis, he's telling us, we're the multitude of the nations. This is our time. This is what our time for, and this earth is for. So we're here to fulfill that purpose. So I think that's what basically what I'm seeing out of all this.
Amen. Yes, Lord. We're waiting, and we are in excited anticipation of this man-child ministry that's coming on the scene. Lord, we thank you that it's on the way, and the anointing is there. Thank you, Father. Okay. All right, anybody else? That's good, David. Thank you. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, I got... This morning I got 1 Samuel 4, verses 6 and 7. That chapter is about the Philistines coming against Israel. And in 6 and 7, the Philistines realized that the Ark of the Covenant had come into the camp of the Israelites. And so I'll just read those two verses. And when the Philistines heard the noise and the shout, they said, "What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?" And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come unto the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God has come into the camp." And they said, "Woe unto us, for there hath not been such a great heretofore, such a thing heretofore." And if you go on, the Philistines actually won that battle, and there were, it says there were 30,000 of the Israelis that were killed, and the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant into their camp, and their people started dying, and they had to figure out how to give it back to them again. And kind of what I got out of all this, when as I was reading it, I felt the Lord saying that it was really important to have Him on our side.
Amen.
Have Him in our camp.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yep, that's a good one. All right, anybody else? Thank you, Marlon. That's a good one. This is all looking like the time we're in now. This is all helping us to remember what we are in this time of the man-child, the bride, the separation, and looking to Jesus. Go ahead,
Michael?
Stan. Yeah, Claudia.
Okay, I got Ecclesiastes 8:5. "Whoso keepeth a commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment."
Again, that reference, Ecclesiastes what?
8:5.
Okay. What'd you get out of it?
We better keep his commandment.
Amen. That's true. Thank you,
and,
Lord.
And I thought it's interesting, too. A wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. So I think that was good, too.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it.
Okie doke. All right, thank you. Yep. All right, anyone else?
Yeah, Michael, I was just going to make a comment about what you were talking about before, all the people who were in the false churches and stuff. And we look back at that now, and we wonder how could they be there? But then I think back that we were there once, and it's just the grace of God that we're not still there.
That's true. That's true. You know, one of the things that I kept asking the Lord to do for me, and I pray this constantly, and that was, "Lord, don't allow me to be deceived." And that's what he did. I can look back on my Christian life and Christian walk and see how he took me out of the sandbox and then put me into school, you know, and learned a little bit there. And then I went on and learned a little bit there and went on. And it's just a progression of our walk. I never did stay in one place too long because I found out, as most of y'all have, that they were teaching error. Because, you know, we read the Bible. And when you read the Bible, you're going to find out that the preachers are wrong most of the time, or lots of the time. And finally, the Lord just separated me from all of them. He said, "I don't want you going back." And it was just me and him then, you know. And, of course, we ran on to David's teachings. In 2005, that was the year that the Lord separated me from the churches. I was still teaching the word and preaching the word to the missions and the prisons and the jails. But as far as organized religion, that wasn't part of that anymore. I did, you know, people would ask me to come speak, and I'd go speak and stuff like that, but... other than that, I didn't have a place to go other than just listening to David at the time. And I'm sure most of y'all got basically the same story. It's the people who are hungry for the Lord that the Lord keeps them separated from error or gets them out of the, you know, we get into that rut sometimes. It was just a little old church that I just loved, man. The pastor was a great musician, and he was full of the Holy Spirit. And he got into that false revival junk, and the Lord shut the church down. Just absolutely shut it down. And we had some fantastic worship times in that little old church, and prayer times too. Saw many healings in that church. He'd never seen a healing. You know, and we never had been out door to door evangelizing, and we all went out and did that and saw people get healed on the street. But it got mixed up with some people in the false revival, and I'm telling you, it didn't last long after that. We were there probably a year and a half, 2 years, and Lord just shut her down. I mean, he shut her down. But anyway, I'm sure that's basically the same kind of a story that most of y'all have had, is that you did have a hunger for the Lord. You did have a hunger for the truth. And that's why that we're all here tonight, is to get the truth and to keep on that right and high road that God put us on. All right, anybody else? Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
I think the biggest problem is people are not reading their Bible. And I mean, I have to say, when we were in the church, we were in that place too. We listened to what the pastor told us and accepted that as truth. And when we started reading our Bible, we realized it wasn't the truth. And you can talk to people today and you ask them, do you read the Bible? And very few of them will say they do.
Yeah, that's true, you know. That's true. They can give you their doctrine and say, well, why don't you do this or why don't you do that, you know? And you just tell them, well, here's what the Word says about it. Doesn't make any sense to them, you know. They give you that deer in the headlight look, and they're not ready to talk with you anymore. It's a religious spirit sometimes that hinders these people from knowing the truth. I told you about that couple that I had been ministering to back in Arkansas for about a year. I'd go down there about once a month, and he ran a real estate office down there, and I'd go into his office, and I knew about when he took off lunch, and we'd spend an hour in there just praying, and we'd learn about Jesus, and I'd teach him a little bit about what we'd learned through the ministry here, and boy, and they were Baptists. These were Baptists now. One of them actually grew up in the Church of Christ. Well, no, both of them did, and they found out that wasn't truth, and so they started going to a Baptist church at the time that I met them. But you know, when I left and came here, that was shut down, and all they got was that Baptist teaching, and I called them here, I don't know, months back, and talked to him a little bit, and boy, he didn't want to hear anything I had to say, and I just grieved my heart. That religious spirit can get pretty rough. You know, when you listen to somebody sow that seed of Baptist in you, that's all you want to hear. That's the fruit that you got, is that. But you know, when the shaking comes, it's gonna bring many people out of this Baptist church and all the rest of the churches too. I'm not just picking on the Baptist, but it's all the rest of the churches too, because they see that there's no hope in those churches. There's no deliverance in those churches. There's no healing in those churches. Because I'm telling you, the day is coming that the hospitals are going to be shut down. You're not going to be able to, you're not going to have the money to go there. People are not going to have the money to go to the hospital. They're not going to have the money. They're not going to have the money to buy food. They're not even going to have food out there to buy, you know. And that's where this teaching of faith and the faith walk is going to bring this revival about. They're going to see these signs and wonders. You remember Jesus fed 5,000 with a couple of loaves of bread and had 12 baskets of leftovers left over. Yeah, he can do that. He can do it. He can do anything. God can do anything. Sometimes people want to put him in a box. Well, God's not going to do that anymore. Well, how do you know? Where is it saying the word that he ain't going to do it anymore? God can do anything. Don't ever put him in the box. He can take somebody that's been cremated, bring them back to life, and preach the gospel. He can do it. That's God. That's the God that we serve. He can take a one-eyed black man and have a worldwide revival out of him, like he did Seymour. I think, what was his name? Charles Seymour. At the Azusa Street Revival. Many churches were built out of that little old 3-year revival. He can do that. Okay. Anybody else get a word or would like to share something? Did I tell y'all about that? Let's see. It was a lady, or somebody had this testimony of a lady that her kidneys shut down on her, and they pulled one of them out of her. I can't remember where I saw it. It might have been online or it might have been here. Y'all stop me if it was. But she got healed. She went and these women prayed for her. Oh, no, that was Bill telling that. Prayed for her. These women prayed for her. And she had a kidney they had taken out and the other one was failing. And these women prayed for her. And God healed her. She didn't have to go back to the hospital anymore. God just instantly healed her. And I don't know, many years later, she started having those symptoms again. And she went to the doctor. Now, why would anybody go to the doctor after being healed by God like that in a mighty way? I don't know. Maybe it's God wanted to get a testimony, get the glory, I guess. But anyway, she went back to the doctor, and he took some x-rays. And he came back in there and he said, I don't understand why you're alive. You should be dead. She looked at him shocked. She said, what are you talking about? He said, you don't have one kidney and the other kidney is just a shriveled up little piece of mess. It ain't operating at all. She said, well, I'm healthy. He said, I see that, but you ought to be dead because your kidneys aren't working. And she got to thinking about it, and she got worried, but she went on home. And she got worried about it, and she called the ladies that had prayed for her healing. And she said, the doctors told me that I don't have any kidneys working, and I ought to be dead. Well, you're not, are you? She said, no, I feel fine. They said, that's God. God healed you. You don't need kidneys if God heals you. You know. And this woman was walking around without any kidneys and just doing fine. So don't put God in a box. I knew a lady that got prayed for that didn't have any inner ear stuff in her ear. And a guy went up to Missouri and prayed for her. And she started hearing, could hear just as good as she could hear real good out of both ears at that when he prayed for her. But she doesn't have any inner ear stuff, any of those things that you got to have to hear out of. She doesn't have it. You don't have to have some of that stuff. David tells a story about this guy that he knew that actually he was pretty famous. He had a glass eye in his right eye. And said he could read out of that glass eye. They said that they would tape up his left eye and they'd put a book in front of him. He'd read right out of it. And he'd pull his glass eye out of his, and there wouldn't be nothing in that socket. And he'd sit there and read it. So can God do anything? Yeah, he can do anything. He can make a blind man see out of a socket of his eye. He don't have to have an eyeball. God could do anything. So let's not rope him up and put him in a box somewhere. Let's let him live. Let him. He can heal that computer that we prayed for Kurt and going to, and already has, as a matter of fact. And he healed Anna's computer. He's already done that. He's done many things for us here. We can use God's power to change the weather. We've done that. We can use God's power and believe him for a blessed garden. We've got a tomato plant down there. This is the, man, I'm telling you, I've never seen one like this. We've got a tomato plant down there right now, 15 foot tall. If we stretched it out all the way up, it'd be around 15 foot tall or bigger. We got a little rain today. It's liable to be bigger than that today. It's amazing. And it's just loaded, slam up with tomatoes. You don't think God can do anything? We had some pink banana squash and some Australian pumpkin squash planted in the same plot next to one another. And we got a cross out of those things. And this is one huge, these are huge, meaty squash that we've got now. They don't have much of an air pocket in them. These things will weigh 30 pounds, you know. And that's just God. He placed it in our hearts to plant them together. So they'd make this squash, and we're going to keep the seeds out of it. We're believing that God used the best genetics out of one and the best genetics out of the other, where this one's going to not only store well. The pink bananas don't store as good as the Australian pumpkin squash, but we're believing that it is. These are going to store like the butternuts, which store from year to year if you want them to, and we're going to see a miracle here. It's just amazing. We try God on every little thing that we can. We've been praying that God would expose the hand of the evil, corrupt politicians up there, and he's doing it. We just believe, you know. That's what we are. We're all believers. And if you're believing for something, man, just know that it's going to happen. Just know that it's going to happen. Because it will. Look back at the cross. We've been studying in our Bible studies on Wednesdays. Our weakness is God's power or something like that. Let me see here. And we're finding out that God will do whatever it takes. If he encourages us to pray for something, we'll pray for it and we'll watch it happen. We know it's going to happen now. That's the faith God's looking for, y'all. Let me get this thing up here. All right, has anybody else got anything they'd like to share? Yeah, it's weakness, way to God's power. That's what we've been at. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? Okay. True faith looks back, don't it? It looks back at the cross. That's what he's talking about there. Hang on just a second. In Mark 11:22, it says, have faith in God, doesn't it? But over in the original version, in the numeric version, it says, have God's faith. And if you take a look at that and you think about it, it's not that it's God's faith, the faith of man in God, but it's the faith of God inside of man. It's the faith of God inside of man. Why is that? Well, it's because Jesus is inside of us, isn't he? And he's God, and it's his faith that we rely on. It's not us. It's not the faith of man in God, but it's the faith of God inside of us. And it's hard for us to work up enough faith in God, but it's our right and our privilege from scriptures to have God's faith in us. In every one of us, we have that. And that's what salvation is all about. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, "For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." And y'all know it's our right, because that's what Jesus did. He made reconciliation. He made that exchange, didn't he? He took our unbelief and he slammed it on that cross and he gave us his faith. And you have to reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin, as Romans 6 and 11 said. Self, that self-life is the unbeliever in you. You need to get rid of that. Your spiritual man doesn't have the ability to walk in unbelief. He's born again. He's born of God. He's going to walk in faith. But it's that old carnal man that gets in the way. And from the time that we're children, our carnal man is being trained to be our Savior, to be a grown-up. But Jesus taught us that we have to become as what? As little children. Or we're not going to enter into the kingdom. Now, we know that we're going into the kingdom because Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you in Luke 17 and 21. And some translations say among you instead of within you. So we're entering into the kingdom, but we can't enter into the kingdom without being a little child. That's what Jesus said. That means we're weak. That ain't a grown up, is it? We're weak. We're weak like a child. And the qualities that the world calls grown up are not considered to be qualities in the kingdom of heaven. It's just the opposite. So when we cast our cares upon him and putting our total trust in the Lord to be our supplier and our healer and our Savior in all things, that pleases God. And that's where he's going to have us here in the days ahead here. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, "Without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him." And so what we need is what he says in Mark 11:22. We need God's faith in us. We need to have God's faith, right? And when you get a picture of Jesus, you might get a picture of a faith that you don't have by manifestation. But you can have that faith. The Bible says we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, in 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. You've got to see it as already done. It's already an accomplished fact. You have to see the fact that Jesus has already given you everything that he is, and that includes his faith. And that's the way faith works. It calls the end from the beginning. Romans 4 and 17 says it calleth the things that are not as though they were. And when we look in the mirror, we look and see Jesus, don't we? And if we do that, the Bible promises us that we'll be transformed into that image from glory to glory. So we need to get a picture of God's faith, because that's our faith now. It is the faith of God inside of man, not the faith of man in God, because man, the carnal man, doesn't have any ability to walk in faith at all. And we can try, we try to work faith up in ourselves, and that's the faith of man in God. But the faith of God inside of man is the Father's gift given to us by grace. It's by grace we're drawn to the Father. That's his gift given to us. And he'll keep us in that same faith that he put us in to cause us to come to him at the beginning. And if we walk in faith, he's already given us that. He's given us the faith that we need. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And he's given us everything, hasn't he? His divine power has granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. What a promise. And faith is the victory that overcomes the world, it says in 1 John 5:4. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace have you been saved through faith. Have you been saved is what it says in the original. And that's what the numeric says. And that's what the Nestle's text says. By grace have you been saved through faith. And by the way, if it's not that you've been saved, then it's not by faith, because faith always looks back, doesn't it? Faith believes you have received. It's always past tense. Hope is looking up. It's looking forward. It's future tense. And it's looking forward to something. Confident that you're going to receive something. It's a firm expectation. Strong says the Greek word elpis, meaning hope, is a favorable or confident expectation. But faith, it's not looking forward to anything. Faith is looking back at something. It's something that you've already received, past tense. It's calling the things that are not as though they were. So whatever salvation is and whatever salvation incorporates, it comes by grace through faith. And it comes by looking back at the cross. And since our salvation is past tense, it makes being weak of primary importance. That's the first thing we ought to be. Just go to Jesus and say, Lord, I can't do it. It's you. It's got to be you. And if you obey the word of God, if you obey the principles of Jesus, you're going to be weak in yourself. You're going to cease from doing the things that you've done in the past and trying to save yourself in all these situations. You're going to enter into that Sabbath rest and cease from your works so that God can do His. Amen. If you believe it's done, then ain't nothing you can do to work it out, can you? And if it's in the future, though, you'll never know what method God wants to use to bring it to pass. But since it's in the past, you can accept it as a free gift. It's already done. So that's what we do. That's our job. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace have you been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, that no man should glory. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So we do have a little work to do, only they're not our works, that's the works of God. And whatever God's work is between here and the manifestation, our job is to believe what the Bible says. And the Bible says, by whose stripes you were healed, if that's what you're looking for. And we ought not to ever be moved away from that by any kind of reasoning that anybody wants to throw at us. Maybe not. God won't do this. Maybe God won't do this. Well, if you listen to all that stuff, you'll never be able to have faith. If you're not convinced that what the Bible says is true about our healing, you'll never see a healing. You've got to be totally convinced that and trust God to see these things through. Jesus came to reveal the will of the Father. And He did that by healing everyone who came to Him. And our problem is, we can't come to Jesus physically and touch Him, but we can all come to Him by faith, can't we? We can confess our sins that we may be healed. James 5:16, confess therefore your sins one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. We can get things out of the way. We have the ability to get things out of the way that are in the way. So we confess those sins, don't we? That we may be healed. And then you can go up there and touch Jesus by faith. He healed everybody who came to Him. And He came to show us the way and to be that example that we want to look at. Everybody who came to Jesus was healed. So how come everybody's not healed today? Well, one reason it has not been taught that by his stripes you were healed in the churches. You as a Christian were healed. This is not something you have to look forward to. That's hope. See, that's the problem with a whole lot of Christians. They're looking back. They're looking too far forward. They're looking forward to something that they need to be looking back to because we're healed. Past tense. Not one of us, not two of us, all of us were healed. How do we enter into that? We enter into that by ceasing from our own thinking and our own reasoning and our own thoughts and then say, God, I repent. Your word is true. Well, what does it mean to repent? It means to change your mind, don't it? We all know that. Listen, the word is true. If it says by his stripes you were healed, then change your mind. You were healed. That's it. There ain't nothing else to it. And what we need to understand here is this word salvation. And y'all have heard this in the real good news. That word is sozo. The scripture says, for by grace have you been saved through faith. Now, that faith is past tense. It's always believing for something that you've received, you have received. And when you pray, believe you have received and you shall have it, Mark 11:24, right? That's the way that faith works. That identifies how our salvation is going to come. Our sozo, our saved is going to come. Grace is another thing that identifies God's method for bringing you salvation. Romans 4:4 says, now to him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned as of grace, but as of debt. It says, if it's grace, it's not your works. If it's grace, you got to cease from your works. Too many people are seeking healing because they have hope. Many people are seeking deliverance because they have hope. But hope is not going to get you healing and deliverance. Faith will. And if you got to work for it, if you got to pay for it, if you have to earn it, it ain't something that's coming through grace because grace is unmerited favor. Too many of the churches today are caught up in their own works. They say, you're not saved by your works. But they, you know, they only think about their soul. They don't think about these other things like healing and deliverance. Because they just believe salvation is talking about only about your soul. We all know that it talks about every aspect of our life, don't we? So that's where we are in our faith. In Romans 4:5, it says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. But to him that worketh not, listen, grace comes to him that worketh not. In Romans 11:6, it says, but if it is by grace, it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. That's right. Whatever salvation is big, isn't it? It's a whole lot bigger than our soul just going to heaven when you die. Now, that's good. That ain't nothing wrong with that. But it's that word salvation, as we found out over the years by listening to these teachings, is a whole lot bigger than what they've told us in those churches that we've been talking about tonight. It has everything to do, it covers everything that has to do with the curse of sin and of death. Well, you know what sickness is, don't you? Sickness is just baby death. We've been delivered from all of that. And that's what salvation is all about. And you know, if any part of that salvation is by works, then it's not salvation through grace. Amen. I think I'll stop there and let's see if we can talk a little bit about what we're talking about here. Is anybody... what I'm doing here, folks, is... Weakness, the way to God's power. That's chapter 4 that I've been talking from. It was one that we had yesterday, and it was so good that I thought I'd just bring a little of that teaching in here tonight and maybe help some of you get a hold of this faith thing, this salvation thing that God's got us on, this walk that we're on, you know. So has anybody got anything they'd like to add or like to question or ask a question about or comment on?
Hello, Michael.
Yeah, Gano.
I was just going to comment, you know, you were talking about God's faith, and in the morning, most of the time, most every day, I pray and, you know, put on God's armor. And the amazing thing to me, that, oh, this has been, it's probably been months back, we were talking about it being God's faith, you know, not faith in God, but God's faith. And, you know, as I'm praying the armor of God and putting that armor on, I just see that, I see a picture in my mind of me putting this on. And first of all, you know, I was just seeing, picking up the shield of faith, holding that up. I was seeing, you know, just a regular sized shield like you might have seen, you know, with the, I'm thinking of the days when they used swords and shields and all that. I was seeing something like that. But when we were talking about it being God's faith, I was seeing a huge shield. I mean, it just got so big. It just grew, and it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's like, well, there was no way any dart was going to get me because I was putting on that shield of faith, and it was God's faith, and it was huge. But anyway, I just have really enjoyed that picture because every day when I do that, that's what I see, that big shield of God's faith. And that's just what I wanted. I just wanted to mention that because it's a real vivid picture in my mind, and I love it. So thank you.
Amen. Yeah, I'd like to have that. All of us have access to that big old shield. That's the truth. All right, anybody else?
Hello?
Yeah, Andrew.
Yeah, you said Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, but, you know, there's another one in Ephesians. It's 3:12, and it's a really neat verse there about faith, and it's a gift, too, that's in you, right there, to have that... That in whom we have boldness, confidence, access, confidence unto his faith. And you have his faith there too. So there's four things there in that verse that you get from the gift of Christ in you. I kind of picture them as all little gifts that you got to unwrap and say, how does this work, Lord? You know, and, they're for you, and, you know, I'm trying to get away from boldness that's a worldly boldness to a boldness in Christ. And I'm just trying to differentiate between these two because, you know, in the past I was pretty bold towards the denominations that I was in. And now it has to change, I think, into a new boldness. And all by faith, of course. And that's God's faith in you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for being in us. You know, if you think about God being in you, that makes it a whole new ball game. That's because when God, if God is in me, then I can walk like Jesus did. I can do the things that Jesus did. I'm not talking about all the miraculous healings and all of that stuff. That's there. But I'm talking about walking in holiness and perfection as well. Because Jesus is the one that's doing it. And all we have to do in this perfection walk, this holy walk that he's got us on, is to believe that he's doing it in us. And he's doing it. I'm telling you, he's doing it. And that's what's awesome to me, is just to believe that God would do that for me. And y'all too, you know, all of us. That God would come and place his spirit inside of me, give me access to all the blessings of heaven, and all I have to do is just believe that he's doing that. All I have to do is be bold in him. I don't have to be bold in Michael Hare. I have to be bold in him. Speaking the words, using that sword of the Spirit and that shield of faith. That's all I have to do. Well, you know, I'm talking about as far as walking by faith. That's what we do. But we do have to renew our minds with the Word of God so we'll know how Jesus walked here on earth. Praise God. That is an awesome thought to me. What about y'all? Is that an awesome thought to you, Jackie? That God Himself lives inside of you?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm believing and just standing in faith and enduring.
Okay. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
I'm blessed by receiving everything tonight.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, that's always been an astounding discovery when I found that out. You know, we heard it when we first came in. Well, that's Jesus inside of you. But did you ever meditate on what that meant? As we get older in Christ, okay. There it is. Okay. God's living inside of me. Man, that is awesome. If we understand what that incorporates in our life, in our walk. I want to read you something. I don't think I did this the other day. If I did, I'm going to read it again anyway. Because it's such a good chapter. Such a good chapter. Romans 12. I think I did, but I'm going to read it again. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service, and be not fashioned according to this world. In other words, don't go to the world for what you need. Go to God. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace that was given me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but so to think as to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to each man a measure of faith. Listen, how many of you know if you try to puff yourself up, God's going to deflate you? He'll do it every time. He'll put that humility all over you, man. I know. So that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to not think more highly than he ought to think, but so to think as to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to each man a measure of faith. For even as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and severally members one of another. That's God wants us to know that we're not a Baptist, we're not a Methodist, we're not a Pentecostal, we're not this, we're not that. We're all one body in Christ. That's what we are, and that's what this tribulation is about. He's going to bring the body of Christ together into one body, and he's the one that's going to be glorified. Not going to be man, it's going to be him. And having gifts differing according to the grace that was given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, or ministry, let us give ourselves to our ministry, or he that teacheth to his teaching, or he that exhorteth to his exhorting. He that giveth, let him do it with liberality. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. And let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. in love of the brethren, be tenderly affectionate one to another, in honor, preferring one another. That's huge right there. When you have the love of Christ in your heart, you'll want to be in fellowship with like-minded believers. You'll want to be in fellowship with somebody who wants to talk about Jesus. You want to be you'll want to be in that one accord. That's what brings people into that one accord in Christ, is the love of Christ in each one of us. That's what brings us into one accord, is the love of the brethren and the love of Christ in each one of us. Verse 11, in diligence, not slothful, fervent in spirit, be on fire for God all the time, serving the Lord. When you serve the Lord, you're serving the people of God. That's what you're doing. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, continuing steadfastly in prayer, continuing steadfastly in prayer. I can't emphasize that enough. Prayer and faith go hand in hand. Did you know that? Prayer and faith go hand in hand, and also trust. But prayer and faith, you can't have faith if you're not praying. Why would you need faith if you're not praying? You know what I mean? Continuing steadfastly in prayer, communicating to the necessities of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Boy, that's one we need to throw out of there most of the time, ain't it? We just wish that wasn't there. But that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Well, Lord, forgive me because I've done that, you know. We all have. But that's not the way. He wants us to turn the other cheek and bless them. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Help them, you know, encourage people. Be of the same mind one toward another, and set not your mind on high things, but condescend to things that are lowly. Be not wise in your own conceits. Render to no man evil for evil. There's another one. Take thought for things honorable in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as in you lieth, be at peace with all men. Well, it is possible with Christ, isn't it? Avenge not yourselves, beloved, but give place unto the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. There's another one that's hard to do. We want to lash out ourselves, don't we? But if we wait on God and we just bless him, he does a whole lot better job of getting their attention than you or I can. But if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Y'all know that. When you bless somebody that's been coming against you, it just takes the fire right out of them, doesn't it? Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. There it is again. That two or three times in that one chapter there about turning the other cheek and getting blessing them, blessing your enemies. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's the walk of Christ. That's the Christ inside of each one of us, and that's why he's directing us to read the Word of God, to understand how it is to be like Jesus. Then you can go over then to Matthew 5, 6, and 7 and learn a whole lot more about the attributes and characteristics of Jesus, because he gives you the Beatitudes over there, and also it's the Sermon on the Mount. That's the way he wants us to walk. Be humble. Not given to anger and fits of rage, like we do sometimes. But I'm allowing God to do that in me. I'm allowing him to work in me and to work that junk out of me. You know, there's been a lot of repenting going on. I'm sure there has been over in y'all's house, too. But it just takes wanting and loving God over and above self and the world. God's making a good body of Christian believers here. I believe that. I believe it. I believe that everybody here is striving to be in the bride. And they're walking this humble and life of Christ that he wants us to walk. Not only that, but the powerful, humble life of Christ. Y'all are walking bombs out there. You know that? Bombs for Jesus. Signs and wonders are going to follow you wherever you go. Here a little bit. Probably some of you are doing it now. I know you're exercising your faith with people around you. Praise God. Okay. All right. Let me stop here and let somebody comment. What do y'all think? Anybody got anything they'd like to share?
I like how this passage starts out about being a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, your spiritual service. I like how the whole, if you go through the whole chapter, it's we're being that sacrifice, and we're trying to walk out our salvation, and by that crucifies our flesh, and it's well-pleasing in front of the Lord to see that, and that delights him to the utmost that we're doing those things or trying to strive for those things. Even if we fail, when we get back up, dust ourselves off and continue on, you know, and repent, the Lord's there on our side. He's always there to pick you up and continue on the path. But also, it's interesting that, you know, been studying a little bit of the end times also, that this sacrifice that we have going in our lives today, that the Lord is really, that's the sacrifice that he wants out of all of us. That in the middle of the tribulation, when the abomination and desolation happens, and the sacrifice, he tries to stop the sacrifice. David was talking about how that's going to be a point where Christianity, Christians can no longer practice their Christianity more than Christ. They're going to be totally ostracized from society because they're going to have a system set up in this world that is not going to allow you to be a Christian. They're not going to allow you to swear allegiance to God and only follow the truth we know in the Word and follow Jesus and have no other gods before us. And we're not going to mix his words with their idolatries and their false gods they're going to want to bring in and make a new world order god, the beast and all that. We will be at odds with that because we will not do that. That's the abomination. That's where Daniel was thrown in with, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown in the fire. And Jesus showed up in the middle of that fire because they would not bow down to the idol. They would not worship another god. And that's what our sacrifice is going to be all about, too. We're not going to bow down. We're not going to give up our sacrifice. We're going to stay on that altar. And we're going to be well-pleasing to our God. And reading through Romans 12, you see, you know, what that all entails. And it's a good thing. But also, we're not going to let anything come in and pollute that. So, just an interesting observation I had.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yep. It's this walk that God's got us on. And, you know, it's been a really good walk. it hurts a lot of times when you get rid of that flesh. But once you get rid of it, you say, well, why didn't I get rid of that a long time ago? And it is, you know, you look back and it's not as bad as you thought it was. All right, anyone else?
Yeah, Michael, I think one thing, like he's talking about, that Jesus actually lives in us, when you can talk to people and say, yeah, I believe the Bible, but to really have that revelation that Jesus lives in us, once you get that, it's a whole different thing than what it was before. And I think one of the things that people don't realize in the tribulation, they don't have a true understanding of God is really going to force us to make a choice. There won't be no, you know, up till now people have sat in churches and they die and everybody assumes they went to heaven and they don't really know what happened to them afterwards, a lot of the people. But in the times coming up, God is going to force us. We're going to have to know the truth or we'll be lost. There isn't any other way.
Once they throw that mark out there, it's going to tell, ain't it?
Yeah.
And you know the sad part about that is there's going to be people up there going in line that have believed these false doctrines of once saved, always saved, pre-tribulation rapture. And they're going to believe that they're going to heaven. And they're going to go ahead and take that mark. Well, nobody's been raptured out of here yet. This can't be the mark that they're talking about in the Bible. And then the once saved, always saved people, you got preachers out there in that religion telling them to go ahead and take the mark, that it's okay. God's gonna take you anyway. That's crazy. That's just, man, that's evil. The Bible's real clear about that. At the middle of the tribulation, 3.5 years, they're going to offer that. You're going to have to take it in order to buy and sell stuff. And that's where the rubber meets the road there. Who's going to be the Christian and who's not? There'll be some people killed for it. But, you know, why not go into this thing believing God all the way, trusting Him implicitly, and understanding that He's the one that's going to furnish everything that we need. It might not be in the time frame that we think it is, but listen, His word's true. He's going to do what He said He's going to do. We need to trust Him and persevere and endure in our faith to the end to see it happen. And that's what He wants. That's what He's going to have. For He's God. All right, anybody else?
You know, the promise of eternal life. That's what we got. Life that doesn't end. So, and what's this life that's so, I mean, of course we all want to hold on to it, but Jesus says it's eternal life we're having. We're going to live forever. We look and we're concerned about what we're going to lose, but we're not going to lose anything. So we just stay on the path. We'll just continue to grow and have more of the glory of the Lord in us. So, and I think even at the end, like we're talking, we're going to be getting that next fulfilling of the Holy Spirit, the latter rain. I'm hoping that I don't even know who I am at that point. I'm just going to be totally a whole different transformed person. Even though I know where I'm at now, I just want more. And I think we can all wish for that and pray for that. And I think that's what we'll receive if that's what we're looking for. I'll let that go.
Amen. That's right. Praise God. That anointing comes. Glory be to God. Woo, my. You talk about sparks. From power, my goodness, and the love of Christ that is going to be displayed. Ooh, my. I tell you what, I am praying for that every day. Lord, come. Bring it on, Lord. We want to see this anointing. We want this anointing. All right. We're about ready to close out here. Does anybody have anything that they'd like to pray about before we do? Well, Lord, I just thank you so much for tonight. I thank you so much for the testimonies and the words that you've given us, Lord. They're awesome. They're telling us a little story here about what's coming. And Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for your shield of faith and that armor of God that you've given us, Lord. Let us be ever cognizant to always put that on spiritually every day. And we thank you, Lord. Lord, place it in our hearts to want to get closer and closer to you. We want to be so close to you, Lord, that we can hear your breath. And Lord, I do. I want to be that close. I want to be close, Lord. I want you to come in and just, oh my, I want to be able to come see you anytime I want to. In other words, every second. And I thank you for it, Lord. I just love you. And I know these people here love you, Lord. And we long to be with you and walk with you in the cool of the morning, in the cool of the day, and in the cool of the evening. We want to be with you 24/7, 365, Lord. And we know that when we're with you, there's no time. And we thank you for the work you're doing in each one of us, Lord. We thank you for the great and bold faith you've placed in all of us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you're weaning us away from the world. Praise you, Father, for that. And we're thanking you, Lord, that you're helping us to kill the flesh. Killing the flesh, Lord, and we thank you for that. Father, we just thank you for answering all our prayers tonight. We praise you for it. We thank you for healing Kurt's computer. And anything else that we prayed for tonight, Lord, we just thank you that you've already answered it. And all we have to do is rest in the knowledge that you've already taken care of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good night, saints. It's been a lovely evening with y'all. I thoroughly enjoyed it.